In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
The oxygen tank, and the Lord started to do wonderful, wonderful things, and he was without his oxygen at the end of the evening. I'm not telling you he was completely healed, but I am telling you there was a great improvement. We saw people that had problems with their necks that were healed. We saw people that had problems with their backs that were healed. We saw people that had cancer, and we prayed for them. I'm telling you that God is about doing things, and he knows how to do things. We just need to get out of the way. We need to get out of the way and let the Lord be God. You know, let the Lord be God. God arises, and all of his enemies are scattered, the scripture says. So tonight we will be at Coventry, Connecticut, and we will be there between the times of 7 and 10. And so you're welcome to come, Coventry, Connecticut, on the 15th of October. It's a Wednesday, and it will be at St. Mary's Church. I also want to tell you, on the 28th and 29th of October, I will be at St. Thomas Seminary in Bloomfield, Connecticut. That's the 28th and 29th of October, St. Thomas Seminary in Bloomfield, Connecticut. The power of God is upon the people who seek the face of the Lord, for he is God Almighty, and he knows how to do great things. I'm looking at Isaiah, the 49th chapter, and it's really important because it tells us in verse 3, the Lord said to me, "You are my servant Israel. You are my servant in whom I shall be glorified." Now this is what God says. "While I was thinking, I have toiled in vain. I have exhausted myself for nothing." You know, there are two things going on. What the Lord is saying and what the person is experiencing. What Israel is experiencing, what you are experiencing. Because the Lord says, "You are my servant, in whom I shall be glorified." But I was thinking, "I have toiled in vain. I have exhausted myself for nothing." You see, there are two different thoughts that are going on. What God is thinking and what God is saying, and what you are feeling. What you are feeling, I've toiled in vain, I've wasted my life, I've exhausted myself for nothing. But God is saying, "You're my servant, I shall be glorified in you. You have not toiled in vain, you have not exhausted yourself for nothing. Your reward is with your God, your cause is ever before the Lord. You are honored in the sight of God, the Lord God is your strength." I understand when we get to that point, I have toiled in vain. Oh yes, I've been there so many times. I've toiled in vain. Look at my life. I have nothing of my own. My Lord, I've toiled in vain. Well, God is saying, "You are my servant. I shall be glorified in you. Your cause is with me. Your reward is your God. I have honored you in the sight of the Lord. You are my God is my strength." There are two different, like an AM and an FM. You're hearing the AM. God is speaking the FM. You're hearing, "I've toiled in vain." You're hearing, "My life means nothing." You're hearing, "What have I ever done?" You're hearing, "My Lord, look at me." And the Lord is saying, "You're my servant." Do you understand that? You're my servant. My son gave his life up for you. Do you understand that? He who gave his own son for you, will he not give you all things besides? Let me tell you, if you are in the place of saying, "I have toiled in vain," this is the way the Lord wants to speak to you. I want to tell you, your cause is before the Lord. I want to tell you, he will glorify you. I want to tell you, he will make you a light to the nations. But you must surrender unto him. You must give yourself to him. You must say, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. I will not let discouragement destroy me. I will not let discouragement take over me. I give myself to you. You are my Lord. I have no one but you. Here I am. I come to do thy will. I will not let discouragement take over me. Let me tell you. I understand that the two walking sticks of the devil are guilt and torment and discouragement. Oh, yes. Guilt and torment, that's one. And discouragement, let me tell you. And they're the two walking sticks of the devil. And I understand those people that have set their hands to the plow, those people that have set their hands to the plow and not turned back, and then they don't get too many results. I understand the place, the lonely place of getting discouraged, the lonely place of reaching a point that I feel I have toiled in vain. What have I done with my life? My Lord, I've been banging my head against the wall. Who's listening to me? And what does the Lord say? The Lord has a different word. The Lord has a different word. The Lord has a different word. You're my servant. But more than that, in Christ, you're my son. You're my daughter. And I shall be glorified in you. I shall be glorified in you. Even though you're thinking I've toiled in vain, even though you're thinking and feeling I've exhausted myself for nothing, I want you to know that your cause is with the Lord, that your reward is with your God, and you are honored in the sight of God. Your God is your strength. I tell you, my friends, discouragement can destroy you. Discouragement can destroy you. It's worse than any kind of a disease. It just will stop you. You say, why do I do what I do? I'm going to tell you, people that stand by the abortion mill, and they stand there, and they are the last voice for the unborn and for the woman. And it's sometimes you feel, when you leave that place, my gosh, what have I done? What have I done? What have I done? They're giving me the finger. They're spitting at me. What have I done? I've toiled in vain. But you know, yesterday there was a save. Isn't that wonderful? Yesterday there was a save. Isn't that wonderful that the Lord saved someone yesterday, saved a woman, and saved a baby? You know why? Because people were out there. That's why it's so important to go to 1055 Commonwealth Avenue, to that abortion mill called Planned Parenthood. Again, remember, Planned Parenthood is the daughter of Margaret Sanger, who was friends with Hitler and who was into eugenics and into killing people. Oh, yes. She even went to jail to kill people. She was doing abortions before they were legal, and she went to jail. Isn't that something? She went to jail. Imagine. I wonder how many of us would go to jail. We won't even stand outside the abortion mill. We won't. You know what? Because you have no idea what abortion is all about until you stand outside that mill. You have no idea. It's only in your mind. You say, I'm pro-life. Yeah, you're pro-life. What are you doing? What are you doing? I'm telling you, those sidewalk counselors that stand outside that place offering an alternative to people, I tell you, they reach that point, I have toiled in vain. I have toiled, like, what have I done? I got up so early. I'm trying to speak a word. I'm getting the finger, they spit at me. What have I done? What have I done? I've toiled in vain. But you know what the Lord says to those sidewalk counselors? Your cause is with me. You're my servant. I'm glorified in you. Your cause is with me. Your reward is your God. You're honored in the sight of the Lord. Your God is your strength. And that's the way it is. You see, most people do not want to do the difficult thing. Oh, we're all into not doing the difficult thing. and because we don't want to get involved. That's why, you know, the Red Sox are going to be on tonight. Oh, yes, we're going to have the Red Sox on tonight. And, oh, we're going to have a lot of fans tonight, wonderful fans. Everybody wants to be a fan, and there are very few participants. I'm not against the Red Sox, but I'm going to tell you, there are so few participants. Everybody wants to be in the bleachers looking on. No one wants to be in the front lines. That's including the bishops. Oh, yes, including the bishops, including the priests. That's right. Who are the people in the front lines, I'm going to tell you? Who are those people in the front lines? I'm going to tell you, I've been in the front line since 1968. I've been in the front line. That's where God put me, in the front lines. I'm in the midst of people's troubles. I had a woman that come to me just last week, sweetest woman you'd ever want to see. She comes in while we're having morning prayer, and she says, you know, I'm looking for some place to live. I'm looking for some place to live. This lady is a saint. I've seen her pray in church. Her face glows. She loves the Lord. I'm looking for some place to live. Well, we found her some place to live. I'm going to tell you, my friends, when you're on the front lines, you get people like this. But you know what? This is a woman that's so close to God, much closer than I am. And she's homeless. Isn't that something? But who is going to risk and be on the front lines? Who's going to risk and be on? You see, I'm pro-life. That means I'm pro-her. Just before I left yesterday for Connecticut, woman came in. I have no food. So we emptied our cupboards. Oh, yeah. No, we didn't empty them because that's not true. You know, we gave her all the things that she needed and much more. You know why? Because we're on the front lines. You might say, well, that's charity. No, that's not charity. That's justice. That's justice. That's not charity. That's justice. It's because we're on the front lines. On Sunday, let me tell you what happened. A young boy that I've known 13 years ago, who was totally on drugs, in jail, gone through everything that only God knows. His father was praying for him, his grandmother was praying for him. Well, he comes in while we're having lunch on Sunday. And while we're having lunch, he says, I have a girlfriend that has cancer. Could I bring her to you? Isn't that amazing? He's totally reformed his life. He's totally reformed his life. I'm going to tell you, if people saw this person's life years ago, I used to pray with this kid, and the power of God used to come on him. The power of God used to come on him. The power of God used to come on him. But then his father would tell me, you know, he's getting in this trouble, he's getting in that trouble, he's getting in the other trouble. But he knew where to come. He knew where to come on Sunday because his girlfriend, beautiful. They came to church that night. We spent time with the girl and him and prayed and prayed and prayed. I'm going to tell you, they knew to come to the front lines. They knew to come to the front lines. I would have thought I had toiled in vain. I had spent so much time with this person. I had toiled in vain. I had done it for nothing. But you see, I planted a seed, and they knew where to come. They knew where to come. Now, this kid is not on drugs. This kid has come 180 degrees the other way. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, my friend, I'm telling you, when you're in the front line, you get to see things that other people don't see. You might get your hands dirty, but you get to see things other people don't see. You get to see people change. Even when you think you've toiled in vain, even when you think, my cause is hidden from the Lord. But the Lord says, no. The Lord says, no. You're my servant. You're my son. You're my daughter. You're on the front lines. Oh, in you I shall be glorified. You're on the front lines. Well, even you were thinking you toiled in vain. Even while you were thinking you exhausted yourself for nothing. But you know what the Lord says? Your cause is with me. Your cause is with me. You are never far from me. Your reward is with me. Your reward is me. And you are honored in my sight. And I am your strength. Let me tell you, my friends, to be on the front lines, it is not only to get your hands dirty. not only to get discouraged, but I'm telling you, to be on the front lines is to see things that other people don't see. See things that other people don't see. Oh, yes. Well, we're having dinner on Sunday. In walks this person, and he knew where to come. Isn't that wonderful? He knew where to come. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? That's all I can say. That is so wonderful. Because you're on the front line. You're on the front line. Oh, yes, those people who Planned Parenthood are on the front line. That's right. Those people that run houses for women that are pregnant, they're on the front lines. They're getting their hands dirty, but they see things that other people don't see. Most people are Red Sox fans. Let's sit in the bleachers and watch the Red Sox. Oh, yeah, you can watch the Red Sox all you want. But I'm telling you, my friends, unless you're on the front lines, you will never get discouraged and you will never see the glory of God, because they both go together. They both go together. The front line, oh yeah, I've been discouraged. I know what discouragement is all about, but you know what? My cause is with my God, and I am glorified in him, and I am his servant, and he has called me to be his son. And oh yes, I see things that other people don't see. Not because I'm better. It has nothing to do with being better. Not because I'm holy, because God knows I'm not, but because I will put myself out on the front lines, because I'm just going through this life once. I'm not going through this life again once. I'm not telling you I do it with any kind of perfection. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not perfect. I'm totally imperfect. But I can tell you this, to be on the front lines is to see God working. God working. God working. To be on the front lines. There was a man there last night. Isn't this wonderful? Man there last night that went to the espousal 6 years ago with lung cancer. And the woman said, I spent about an hour praying with him. I don't know. That's what she said. I spent time praying with this man who had lung cancer. He is alive 6 years later. I had no idea. I had absolutely no idea. Then they brought their uncle last night who couldn't breathe, who had oxygen. And I'm going to tell you, something happened in that uncle last night. Something happened in that uncle last night. I just want to say, to be on the front lines is not only to get discouraged sometimes, but to see the glory of God, to see the power of God, to see the manifestation of God. But most people are Red Sox fans. Come on now, let's watch the Red Sox tonight. It's all about the Red Sox. It's about the Red Sox, you know. The Red Sox, the Red Sox, the Red Sox. That's the Red Sox. The Red Sox mean nothing to me. I'm a Yankees fan anyway. Red Sox mean nothing to me. I'm going to tell you, they give me nothing. But Jesus Christ gave his life for me and for you. And to be on the front lines is to see the power of God at work. 6 years ago, we spent time with a man who had lung cancer, and God delivered this man. Isn't that something? I find out 6 years later. That's because you're on the front lines. That's because on a Wednesday night, with my day off, we're at the espousal retreat house praying for people. That's why these things happen, because you go out of your way. You go out like Jesus went out of his way for me in dying on the cross, out of love for me while I was yet a sinner. Let me tell you, you go out of your way just like Jesus went out of his way. He wasn't watching the Red Sox, let me tell you. Jesus was busy doing the will of the Father. He wasn't watching the pro games, whatever they call them now. He was there doing the will of the Father. He was on the front lines. He is the front line. Anyone on the front line for Jesus knows that Jesus is with them, even when they feel they've toiled in vain, even when they were thinking that they exhausted themselves for nothing. He's there with you as your Lord, because you're his son, you're his servant, you're his daughter, and your cause is with him, and your reward is the Lord himself, and you and I are honored in the sight of the Lord, and Jesus is your strength. Let me just tell you these things today, because they need to be said. We have so few people on the front line. Everybody wants to have antiseptic Christianity. You know what antiseptic Christianity is? Keep people 10 miles away from you. Don't let them in. Don't become part of their lives. Don't feel anything they go through. It's a business. Antiseptic Christianity. When Jesus Christ, my Lord and my God, even I have no idea what this means, even though I know it. I know it, but I want to know it fully, fully. He was crucified on a cross out of love for you and me. Crucified naked. There was nothing antiseptic about the crucified Savior. The flies were all over his body as he bled outside the walls of Jerusalem, as he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I tell you, the problem with the people today, and the bishops, and the priests, and the deacons, we're antiseptic Christians. We keep people 10 miles away from us. We're into watching the Red Sox and not surrendering our lives to Jesus, getting on the front line. When you're on the front lines, let me tell you this. You might come to think that you toiled in vain. You might come to think that you wasted your time. You might come to think that you've exhausted yourself for nothing, because you don't see all the fruit. But my Lord, he says, "You're my servant. You're my son. You're my daughter. I shall glorify you. Your cause is always with me. I'm your reward. And you're honored in my sight." Today is the feast of St. Teresa of Avila, another woman that was not antiseptic, another woman that reformed the great Carmelite order, a woman that went beyond the beyonds to do what God called her to do. Oh, yes, this holy woman of God, Teresa of Jesus, Teresa of Jesus, Mother Teresa, the reformer of the Carmelite order. Oh, yes, she who had union with God, but she who dirtied her hands in order to get these women to be the nervous system of the church, prayer and fasting for the church. Oh, yes, Teresa of Jesus. Teresa, one day Jesus said to her, "What is your name?" And she says, "I am Teresa of Jesus." And Jesus said, "And I am Jesus for Teresa." Isn't that something? The Lord asked her, "What is your name?" "I am Teresa of Jesus." Teresa de Jesus. Or Teresa de Jesus. And God, Jesus said, "I am Jesus for Teresa." Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Isn't that something? But I'm sure she had days when she said, "I have toiled in vain." You know who gave her the biggest problem? Were the bishops and the priests. But you know what? She pursued the will of God, and she was not an antiseptic lady. Oh, that beautiful Teresa of Jesus, a woman with strength. She said every Carmelite convent must have a tambourine. You know why? Because the power of God would come. And she'd be banging it on her backside, dancing. Oh, they're contemplative, but more than contemplative. They're the nervous system of the church. I thank God for the Carmelites. I thank God for the visitation nuns. I thank God for those people who seek the face of God in darkness, the poor Clares. I thank God for these holy women of God, these holy, awesome women of God. And today we need to pray for contemplatives. You know why? Because they don't see what they're doing, and yet they're on the front line. They're doing spiritual battles every single day for the church, and they don't see what happens. They don't see, and it can get very dark. And, you know, they can be thinking, you know what? I have wasted my life. I have toiled in vain. I have exhausted myself for nothing. They don't see. They don't see because they're constantly praying for people. That's their vocation, constantly in prayer, constantly worshiping like Simeon and Anna, constantly before the Lord God Almighty, many times in darkness. So, Lord, we pray for all these contemplative people. We pray the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon them. We pray that they would see things that their life is worth so much in your sight. They are on the front lines because they are doing spiritual battle every single day. We ask Teresa of Avila, St. Teresa of Jesus, to pray for these women, these men that seek the face of God day in and day out, in darkness and sometimes in desolation. We ask St. Teresa of Avila to pray for these people. So tonight we will be at St. Mary's in Coventry at 7 o'clock. That's at St. Mary's in Coventry, and that's in Connecticut. Tonight at 7 o'clock. Tonight is Wednesday, the 15th of October. We'll be at St. Mary's in Coventry, and you're welcome to come.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.